Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to all of you. Isn't it nice and snug in here? It's chilly out there this morning, isn't it? Thanks for coming and bringing the spirit of worship and love. I know God's got something in store for us today as we come to lift his name as we praise and worship him. So before we begin, let's look at a few announcements, and there are many. Mondays 9 to 12, the ladies' auxiliary are working on the quilt project to support the veterans. You're invited to come and be a part of that on Mondays. Thursday the 16th, Bible study at 10 a.m. Saturday the 18th at 6 p.m., stew fellowship. Come and eat with us. You're welcome. Shrimp stew, chicken stew. I don't know, there's going to be a lot of stew.
Can I comment on that, Judge?
Yeah, comment.
Please.
Yes, comment.
Once again, I'm going to talk about this stew thing we're having. Please come out. We need some people to eat. It's free. It won't cost you a dime. The men are going to cook. Mostly Michael and Selena are going to cook, but mostly. but we're going to have some good food.
Guys, I reckon.
But we ain't clean.
I'm getting to it,
and
Donna.
Set up.
The men are in charge of this, so we got to set up, and when we finish. We got to clean up. So I need all the men in the church to help. If you want to help do something else about cooking, see Michael if he needs any help with that. But other than that, please come out and eat, and that's going to be a good fellowship. If you want to invite somebody, invite somebody. We'll have enough food, okay? Anybody got any questions? I'm done.
Sunday, November the 19th at 6:30 p.m., Ladies' Auxiliary Pre-Thanksgiving Service. Monday, we need to make a comment. Go right ahead.
This is from my wife. My wife has got a cold, and she's sick today. So she wanted me to make a comment on the pre-Thanksgiving service on the 19th at 6:30. It's put on by the Women's Auxiliary, but it's for everybody. So she said, and the offering will go to the children's home. So she said, please come. I've done my duty.
Then on Tuesday the 21st at 6 p.m., the youth lock-in And they want you to be here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday morning to pick them up, okay? I mean, they got that parentheses, all right? All right. And they're collecting monetary donations for a service project for the shut-in. So money can be given to Jennifer McLawhorn and Melissa Hill if you want to participate in that. How about I make a comment on that, Slater?
I'll tell you how many times we do this. So the youth, we decided that we wanted to have the youth to do some kind of little service project. So what we're going to be doing, what we're collecting the money for is, you know, we always go Christmas caroling to our shut-ins and stuff, and we usually give them a little bag of fruit. Well, we thought that we would kind of revamp that just a little bit, and we want to take the youth during the night of the lock-in to the Dollar Tree and assign them certain items to go find and bring up to the front for us to purchase together to make Christmas stockings to give to all of our shut-ins when we go to Christmas carol to them. And so that's what we want to use the money for. We want them to have the experience of going out to the shelf, selecting the items, and then coming back to the church and actually assembling the stockings that we'll be passing out when we go Christmas caroling.
Okay. So the November 21st, 7 p.m. on Tuesday, the deacons will meet. And then slide in there, choir practice Wednesday at 6:30. The 18th, Mary's Soup Kitchen would be our time to serve there. Ms. Joanne Grubbs, see her if you want to help, if you got any questions. But we'll need to be there at 8 o'clock to begin cooking. That's November the 18th, Mary's Soup Kitchen. Let's see, Deacons meeting. Deep Run Parade, Saturday, November the 25th at 4 p.m. Does anybody want to say anything about that?
Yeah,
all right, go ahead.
And I think the last one too well here.
Get it.
Yeah, yep.
So you can participate in that, $10 in memory or honor, a luminary, see Joella, okay? Deep Run Christmas Parade, they'll be put out then, right? Now this is on December the 15th. Yeah, okay. All right. If you would like to purchase a poinsettia, $11, you can. Selena, you want to say anything about that, Selena? All right, go ahead.
So you'll see the little form where you can put who you want to give a poinsettia in memory or honor of. There's also going to be some of these forms on the vestibule table and up on the front pew, because I'm not going to stuff them every week. And just try to have that money and the little form to me by Wednesday, December the 13th, because I plan on doing the little insert the Sunday before New Year's.
Okay. Bill Gray Memorial Whole Hog Cook-Off Saturday, December 9th. And I'm assuming that's at the fire department? Or where?
It's South
Lenore. South Lenore, okay. South Lenore.
Through the parking
lot. All right. Anybody want to say anything about that?
Just come out and right. We sell a barbecue by the pound and barbecue sandwiches. So all that money is going to stay in Deep Run. Half goes to the fire department, half goes to the community fund for such a parade. We did the sea life. We're looking at hosting. sign some banners to go up in Deep Run for, you know, make it look a little more festive. So that's where that is.
Okay. Anybody else have an announcement?
Jogo?
Oh, all right, hold on now.
I just want to say, from what I understand, Charles Davis benefits have raised over $25,000.
Wow.
A number of people bought plates on behalf of the family and Debbie. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. All right. Anybody else? All right, let's begin worship.
We're going to have a congregational call to worship this morning. Let's all turn to 209, stand and sing, "This Is the Day."
Read together the responsive reading. Rejoice, people of God, this is our Sabbath day.
Rejoice, friends in Christ, this is our time for worship.
God ordained the Sabbath, rest and restoration.
God is worthy of worship, our Creator, Healer, and Inspiration.
So then let us worship God.
Jesus, we praise His holy name.
Father, we thank you so much that you ordained the Sabbath, that we can rest from our labors and the busyness in the world and just slow down a little bit. Let our spirits catch up with our body and let us come before you and feel your presence as we worship you, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Giver of life. May we truly experience you in truth and in glory this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn to 353, sing all three verses of Victory in Jesus.
To save a wretched life.
Ms. Linda Faye Jenkins has our scripture readings this morning.
We have victory in Jesus, right?
Amen.
Yes, we do. Okay, our scripture today from the Old Testament is Psalm 78, verses 1 to 7. This is a psalm of Asaph, and it speaks where he's speaking in a parable. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and things we have known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord's power, and the wonders that the Lord has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob. He established the law of Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children, and then they would put their trust in God, and they would not forget God's deeds, but they would keep God's commands. So the gospel reading from the New Testament, this is according to Matthew, in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And it's talking about the wise and the foolish virgins, or the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, five of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. The wise ones took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and they fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and they trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet. The door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour that the Lord will come." Very wise words to us today. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
continue to worship as we pray, or any needs we need to remember this morning?
Alan J.
Alan J., okay.
Our military.
Military.
Pray for our country and Israel.
Yes. Any others? Also, remember on the back of your bulletin or our request, and as you pray this week, remember these needs, and pray for one another, and certainly thank God for his blessings. So let's take action together as we pray.
Guide us and direct us, be with our pastor as he brings us the morning message that you've given him to share with us. And be with us as we worship together, Lord. All these things I ask and pray, in thy precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn to 399, stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of We Are God's People.
And live with those in
We pray blessings on our offerings as we take these up today. We pray for your care and your continued help for each of us, Lord. Thank you so much for loving and caring for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Be seated. Our scripture text today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Some of the Bibles have in there the note called the Transfiguration. It reads like this: about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen, listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept to themselves and did not tell anyone what they had seen. That's a pretty interesting piece of scripture, isn't it? Read it many times, I don't think I've ever preached on it, and I only remember one sermon. That was when I was a young boy. My dad preached on it. So I want to see what we can learn here this morning. The title that we've got, or the thought, is a sharper image, a more accurate picture of Jesus. When I take these glasses off and I look out there at you, I see a shadowy representation of who you really are. But when I put these glasses back on, I have a much sharper image, a more accurate picture of who you are. I think in our business of living, we need a sharper image of who Jesus really is. I have another pair of glasses too. I got these. These are what, when I'm sitting at a computer all day. And, you know, sometimes I forget to take them off. And when I get out on the road, everything's blurry because they're made to see about that far in front of my face. What I have found is, in life, I need a sharper image. I need to be able to see what I'm doing, where I'm going, and the many things that we have to do in life. It is the same way in our spiritual lives. We need a sharper image of Jesus. Peter, James, and John had been following Jesus for about almost 2 years, and they were beginning to understand that he was more than just another rabbi. Jesus was from Galilee, a small town from Nazareth, and Galileans were considered hicks, kind of like old hicky mountain people. They even spoke with a funny accent. And yet, far away from the epicenter of Jewish life, this small town rabbi, Jesus, developed quite a following and quite a reputation for working miracles and teaching with great authority. His disciples began to understand, they began to realize that there was something very special about him. Very special indeed. And one day Jesus looked at them and he asked them this. He said, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They replied, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say a prophet from long ago." And Jesus then asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You're Christ of God." In other words, the Messiah, the long promised and awaited Messiah. Peter was beginning to understand who Jesus was. And in the next scene from Luke's gospel, Peter, along with James and John, get the complete picture, the story of the transfiguration. These three disciples see Christ as he really is. They get a sharper image of the one they had been following up to this time. Until then, they had only known him as a man, the same as they were. And that's because Jesus was fully human. We sometimes forget that Jesus was real flesh and blood human, just like all of us. He needed to eat, or he would become hungry. He needed to drink, or he would become thirsty. He was tired. He would get tired, and he would need sleep. When dust got in his nose, he sneezed. He may have even had allergies. When he worked in the sun, he would sweat. When he skinned his knuckles, they would bleed. Jesus was fully human. But there was more to Jesus than his human nature. He's also divine. He is also God in the flesh, and his early followers didn't easily recognize that. They were confronted with the human Christ. And it took them longer to recognize his deity. And the Bible's very clear about the deity of Jesus. The New Testament was written after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and after his followers had had time to fully understand who he really was. In Scripture, we see the fullness of the deity of Jesus. John 1 says that he has existed since before the beginning of time. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. The Scripture makes it clear that he created the world. In John 1:3 it says, "Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made." Colossians is clear on that too. For by him were all things created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He created the world. He is also exalted above all of his creation. Why, a creator can do that, you know, can be exalted above all his creation. In Philippians it says, who being the very nature of God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. And every tongue confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. As it says in one of the ancient creeds of the church, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. He is exalted above all he has created. Now, when Jesus was on earth, this aspect of his nature wasn't immediately obvious to his followers. They only began to understand it after a period of time. And in today's story that we find in Luke chapter 9 here, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a mountain to pray. And during that time, something amazing happened. The appearance of Jesus changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. And if you've seen lightning, that's pretty bright, isn't it? Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared in glorious splendor, and they had been dead for hundreds and hundreds of years. But they were there talking with Jesus. And they spoke about his departure, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And Luke said that Peter, James, and John were very sleepy. But when they saw this, they became quite awake. And I imagine they did. Peter was always the first one to speak. He said, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up three shelters, one for you and Moses and one for Elijah. And while Peter was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And a voice came from the cloud, God himself, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. And Luke finishes the story by saying, when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone, and the disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. When others saw Jesus, they saw a man, a teacher, a rabbi, a miracle worker, a carpenter, a Galilean. But the transfiguration changed things for Peter, James, and John. Now they were beginning to see not just a shadowy representation of Jesus, but a sharper image, the reality of who he is, the eternal Son of God. I recently had a birthday, and sometimes people will put pictures of you on the internet or Facebook, whatever you want to call it, and looking at some of those photographs, I was kind of shocked at the image of the man who was standing in my place. Do I really look like that, you know? And, you know, a photograph often breaks the illusion that we have about ourselves. Seeing a photograph of myself reminds me that I'm no longer 19. I'm no longer thin. I no longer have a head full of hair, and it's changed colors. I sometimes forget that. You know, a good photograph reminds us of what the real person actually looks like. And there's a sense in which during the transfiguration, Peter, James, and John received a more accurate picture of Jesus. Even though they saw him in the flesh, they were actually receiving an image of the totality of who Jesus really is. It's like God put them on a spiritual set of glasses that maybe no one else had on. Now, I'm a little disappointed sometimes when I see a picture of myself. But seeing a more accurate picture of Jesus is anything but disappointing. When we glimpse a more accurate picture of Jesus, when we get a vision of who he really is, we, like Peter, James, and John, behold his glory. The results are life-changing. So in the amount of time we've got left, I want to look at just a few things here. Let's take time to look at the story here, so hopefully we can develop a better or more accurate picture of Jesus, a sharper image, you might say, of who he is and what he can do in our lives. Here are three things to keep in mind. Number one, a sharper image of Jesus is connected to times of solitude. Peter, James, and John were on the mountain along with Jesus when they witnessed the transfiguration. And during this time of solitude, his appearance changed, and God spoke to them, and they recognized him as the Son of God. And I believe our closest experience with Jesus will come in times of solitude. You know, we take pride in being busy, don't we? Doing something all the time. But a lot of times our busyness keeps us from experiencing Jesus as he really is. Have you ever been somewhere where there was so much noise that you were not even able to carry on a conversation with someone? Anybody, you ever done that? And you're screaming back and forth in one another. And many times that's what happens in life when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. We're so busy, there's so much distraction going on that we just don't have that conversation. There's just too much noise. And getting a sharper image of Jesus involves some amount of sensory deprivation. This is more than vital. And, you know, you may not have the luxury of getting away. You know, the Bible says that Jesus went away out in the desert for a period of time. And there, I think, to converse with his Father. You may not have the luxury of doing that. But we can all spend time in solitude with Jesus right where we are, in our homes, in our office, in our everyday lives. And it's just some practical things that we can do. I like practical, don't you? Number one, turn off the TV. There's not a whole lot of good coming out of it. It's not all bad, but there's not a lot of good coming out. And it can get in our way of having a sharper image of Jesus. Unplug the computer. Huh? Disconnect the telephone and power down the cell phone. Get away from your routine. Get out in your backyard. Go to the park. Fast. And I don't mean just food. It's just all this other stuff we take in that interferes with our conversation with God. And turn the music off too. Now, I like good worship music. But you know what I find out a lot of times? I can be distracted even listening to worship music. I hear a good song and good lyrics, and I get to thinking, I wonder why that person wrote those lyrics. You know, why did they put it in that key? I wonder if it's on the internet. I wonder if I could play it. And before long, I have forgotten all about worshiping, and my mind is all out there, all over everywhere. So turn the music off too. It's important to turn off the noise of daily life as much as possible and experience silence. The Bible tells us that God can speak to us with a still, small voice in the most silent times of our lives. If you want to develop a sharper image of Jesus and you walk with Christ, begin by spending time in solitude with him. That's the only way we get to know someone. Number two. A sharper image of Jesus involves stillness. There was a song written not long ago that's called Stand Still. And y'all may have remembered it. When Peter saw the glory of the transfigured Christ speaking with Elijah and Moses, he came up with this great idea. Let's put up three shelters. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And that sounded like a pretty good thing to do, didn't it? But Luke says this. He didn't even know what he was saying. Once again, Peter was running ahead of God. Peter had this plan. He wanted God to bless it. But, you know, God, that's not what he was interested in at the time. Think about what Peter's suggestions entailed. Three shelters. Could you imagine how much work that would require? And, you know, they didn't have a lot of money, so they probably would have to have a fundraiser. You know, so they probably had to get a fundraiser going first so they could buy the materials. And then they would have to get workers. You know, a lot of people they ain't too into working. So they had to figure out how they could get some people to help them work to get it completed. And certainly there would have to be some organization. There would have to be some leadership. And at the very least, there would have to be some time to put the project together, maybe several days, several weeks, I don't know, months. I don't know how long it would take. But notice this wasn't the time for activity. It was a time for stillness. It wasn't a time to talk or to plan. It was a time to listen. A time to listen to Christ. That's why God spoke to Peter from the cloud and he said, "This is my son whom I'm chosen. Listen to him." It's true too now that we're called to be laborers in the vineyard. There's a lot of work to do and the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But Jesus said, "I want you to listen. I want you to understand there's a time to be busy and a time to be still. There's a time when it's best for us to come away from the busyness of our daily lives into the stillness and solitude into the presence of Jesus. A time in which we can get away from the world and focus our attention toward listening to him, that we can get a more clear picture of who he is." Here's a principle to remember. In our work, in our daily work, we reveal Jesus to the world. And in our stillness, Jesus reveals himself to us. I encourage you, as often as you're able, to spend time in solitude with Jesus, doing nothing but listening. Turn off the noise of the world and turn off the noise of your own ideas and just listen. Listen to what he's saying. The third thing is, a sharper image of Jesus also includes contemplation. Now Luke concludes this story. He says the disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at the time what they had seen. That's amazing, isn't it? It's interesting. They had seen, as Luke put it, the very glory of Christ. They had watched him transfigured before their very eyes. They had witnessed him speaking with Moses and Elijah. They had been enveloped by a cloud and had heard the audible voice of God, and they said nothing about it to anyone. Why? I don't know. Maybe they didn't fully comprehend it or fully understand all that happened to them on that mountain. Maybe they need a little time to think about it. It was only later, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, that their experience on the mountain began to make sense to them. Here's what I'm saying. When you have a powerful experience with Jesus during a time of solitude, it's not always easy or even advisable to talk about it. Our relationship with Christ is personal, and he deals with each of us in a very special way. He speaks to you in ways that only you can understand. He comforts you in ways that only you can be comforted. He works the same way with every single person on the planet. And the Bible is a record of God's relationship with man. Each of us needs to take time to reflect on what God is doing in our lives. We need to meditate on what he's saying to us. We need to take what we have learned in those moments of stillness and solitude and continue to contemplate their significance in our walk with Christ. After a mountaintop experience, when God reveals himself to us in a mighty way, we need to continue Once we have left the mountain and we're back in the real world, we need to continue to contemplate the meaning of our experience with Him. And in conclusion, I believe God wants each of us to see Christ transfigured before our very eyes. I believe God wants each of us to develop a clearer picture, a sharper image of who Jesus really is. I believe He wants us to know Jesus intimately and personally. And I want to tell you the truth. This isn't something you can get from a sermon. I can talk to you about Jesus all day long. But in order to walk closely with Him, you have to experience Him for yourself. As you experience Him, you begin to know Him. And this begins with a decision to be His follower, to ask Him into your heart and to be Lord and Savior of your life. And it continues with a lifelong dedication to knowing Him more completely. In times of stillness, times of solitude, and times of contemplation, as you follow in His steps. In our world, we reveal. In our work, we reveal Jesus to the world. But it's in our stillness He reveals Himself to us. I don't know about you, but I'm a creature of habit. And I think this is one habit we need to make and not break. Beginning right away, to spend time in solitude with Him. Being still, listening for His voice. And meditating on His presence. And I think He'll give us those spiritual glasses we need to really get a sharper image of who He really is. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for the story, this true story about Jesus. Move and speak in our hearts and lives as we've heard Your word. In Your very precious name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn to 319, stand and sing verses 1 and 4 of Near the Cross.
Again, we thank you all for being here, bringing the presence of worship. Carry that spirit with you out into the world. There's a lot of announcements. Does anybody have anything to say before we leave? us be dismissed then. Jerry, would you dismiss us?
Heavenly Father, as we close this sermon out, Father, we thank you for the message that was preached this day. We thank you for your spirit, Father, that dwells among us. We thank you for the tenderness that you have given us. Father, we just thank you so much. We ask now that you will work with us this week. Father, that we can have that desire to dwell closer with you, to find that calm spot and trust it, Father, when you answer our prayers. And with the Spirit just flows over us, that we can become one with you, that we don't let no wife, no husband, no friend, no co-worker come in between that relationship. So that we can go out and represent you. Father, so that we can just, people can see that light. They can see and feel what you got so much, Father. We'll be so much happier. There'll be so much more love in this church. We can see it filling.